98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day every day at 4 o'clock. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show. Our reaction to the stuff making news today. Steve Keim was making news this morning, a guest of the Doug and Wolf show on Newsmakers Week. He was asked point blank, Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, what are you going to do with the number one pick? And he goes, guys, honestly, I don't know right now what we're going to do with that pick.
I mean, I can say this truthfully. I truly don't know who we're going to take.
Because there's still so much of the process left to go through.
Yeah, there's no way they're close to knowing what they're going to do. They have to go through. They haven't even had the combine yet. Combine, interviews, all of that stuff changes things. It's not just about watching tape. You get a lot on tape. But you got to go meet the person. You got to go talk to them. You got to do your homework. So, you know, to have an idea in early February who you're going to take, it's usually not, doesn't usually work that way.
But one thing he did not do, and neither one of us expected him to do it today on Doug and Wolf's show, he did not rule anything out. He did not close any doors. He did not shut down any roads. Everything is still wide open. There were no definitive statements about things they will or will not in particular do.
Because everything is open.
Because everything should be open.
Everything
absolutely should be open. Pitchers and catchers doing pitching and catching things out at Salt River Fields today for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Torey Lovello meeting with the media out there. And listen to him once again giving a very vague answer about his center fielder and whether that's going to be Ketel Marte.
I don't know that answer. We feel like that he's capable of going out there and taking on that challenge. I know that we would be asking a lot of him, but we've done a lot of work and we've done a lot of preparation as far as conversation and just making sure that he understands the reason for us considering this.
There might be a reason why.
I think there is. If Adam Jones does not get a multi-year contract offer from another team, the Diamondbacks would be willing to give him a one-year contract. The Diamondbacks would very unlikely do a two-year contract. They might do a team option on a second year, but very unlikely that Arizona would give Adam Jones a two-year contract. They would be willing to sign him to a one-year deal. So if he plays this out and nobody offers him a two-year contract, he very well could end up with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Archie Bradley today on the nail that was cracked last year. Quote, this nail is solid. I'm throwing some hammers this year. I'm going to have one of the best curveballs in the big leagues this year. It's nasty. Close quote. Got that quote off of Steve Gilbert's Twitter feed from MLB.com.
You
got
to talk the talk. You better walk the walk. If you're going to come out there and say that, you know, you better go out there and have one of the best curveballs in baseball and use it.
Absolutely. Zach Greinke is going to report to spring training a little later this week. The team granted him a few extra days off. He says they say there's no injury to worry about. He just asked for a couple of days, and they gave him a couple of days. Basketball tonight, the Suns taking on the Clippers. Final game before the All-Star break. They've lost 14 straight games. Would desperately like to end that and not set or match, I should say, a franchise record in their final game before the All-Star break. And then ASU on the road tonight in Colorado, in Boulder, taking on the Buffaloes tonight.
Coming off of a huge win against Washington, the only undefeated team in the conference. They beat them at home. Now they've got to go win some games on the road to secure their position in the NCAA tournament.
What kind of an effort are they going to get tonight? It's so hard to tell with Bobby Hurley's crew. But
I'm looking forward to watching that one, though.
Top story of the day comes from the NFL, where maybe, and I'm going to emphasize maybe you can take a team off the list that perhaps would be interested in moving up in the NFL draft for a quarterback, because the Denver Broncos found a quarterback today, agreeing to a trade with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it hasn't been announced. It can't be announced until the league year begins on March 13th. But this is one that we know is going to happen. According to reports, it's a fourth-round pick going back to Baltimore in exchange for Flacco, who now becomes the second Super Bowl MVP quarterback to find a home in Denver. Peyton Manning was the first, yeah, a few years ago, right?
Yeah. Listen, somebody was going to sign Flacco because he's a good quarterback, and somebody's going to get Nick Foles, and somebody's going to get Bridgewater. And now the biggest question is, you know, does that take them out of the market for a quarterback in the draft? Flacco is 34 years old, did have the injury, and he doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his contract. He's got base salaries, $18.5 million this year, and then it goes to 20.25 and then 24.25. None of it is guaranteed. So it's basically, it's a three-year contract, but on a one-year deal. If you don't like him after 1 year, you get rid of him. You know, if you don't like him after 2 years, you get rid of him. I don't know if this precludes them from taking a quarterback in the first round. I don't think they would be aggressive and move up to get a quarterback and give up all this inventory. Joe Flacco's their starting quarterback next year. He's been a good quarterback throughout his career. I mean, he has been. I mean, I like him. I think you could win games with him. I don't think this is a bad move by the Broncos. The Ravens, obviously, they're moving on with Lamar Jackson. But when you look at Flacco in the regular season, in the postseason, the amount of, he's got 10 postseason wins. Only Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger have more among active quarterbacks. I like the guy.
Yeah, you and I are going to agree to disagree when it comes to Joe Flacco. I did a quick search. His numbers since he won the Super Bowl, 83 games, his record is 42-41. He's a 500 quarterback. He's got 110 touchdowns to 80 interceptions. That ratio is not great. His yards per attempt, 6.5. He does not throw the ball down the field. He cannot throw the ball down the field. He's been dealing with back and hip injuries. To me, if I were any other team in that division, okay, you want Joe Flacco to be your quarterback? Knock yourself out. I think John Elway, since Peyton Manning left, he's really struggled with this. He's really struggled at the quarterback thing. He's drafted the wrong guy. He signed guys that haven't been particularly effective, right? I mean, he's given money to guys who haven't come in and done what he's wanted to do. I look at Flacco, and I mean, I tell you what, I'd much rather have Nick Foles. If we're talking about some of the guys who are out there, Flacco was a good quarterback in this league. It's been a long time since Joe Flacco's been even an upper half quarterback in this league. But we'll see. I could be wrong. I just don't like it much from the Broncos.
He can't win games by himself, and they did not have a very good team around him those last couple of years. He's had to throw way too many footballs. He's throwing the ball way too much. They don't have the balanced rushing attack that you want. So I do think in the right system that I think he could still be good. 34 years old, obviously. You know, he's not your long-term answer. He could be your stopgap guy, which may put them in a position to take a quarterback. It's possible they could still take one.
It's possible that Joe Flacco is in exactly the same situation he was in last year with Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, I could very easily see the Broncos still drafting a quarterback at number 10 or maybe in the second round as a guy that they project ahead as possibly the future. And depending on if Flacco struggles or if he gets hurt, I mean, what happened in Baltimore this year? Flacco got hurt. Lamar Jackson came in. They won a ton of games with him. He led them to the playoffs, basically. That was just an okay team until Lamar Jackson came in and shot him off to the playoffs.
But he was running, and then...
Difference.
And then who was that other? Gus Edwards, was that the running back?
Yeah.
I mean, those two formed a great tandem. But when Flacco was there, I mean, you know, Mike Wallace and Breshad Perriman, he just didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. He kept throwing it to Dennis Pitta, the tight end. He didn't have anyone to throw the ball to. I think Flacco's good. I think he'll be good for the Denver Broncos. I think they made a good signing today. It's no risk. They have a fourth round pick. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. The question is, will they still draft a quarterback or not? And I don't know the answer to
that. I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think they'll trade up. I think you can take them off the list of teams that will move up to get one. Now, there's still plenty of teams on that list. The Raiders, as you suggested, could move up to get Bosa. The Jags, if they don't get Foles, they're still a top candidate to move up. You'd even suggested earlier in the show that teams picking a little later in the first round, the Dolphins,
I got two.
Dolphins at 13 and Washington at 15.
Could be teams interested in moving up.
Sure.
And you're gonna ask the question, and I know you are, but you know, would the Cardinals go down that far? Would they go to 13 or 15? And the answer is, for the right price, yes. For the right price, they would go down to 13 or 15. So if one of those teams wants to make a move up, you know, a Philadelphia move up to where Tennessee was, right? I mean, you're talking about two firsts and two seconds and two thirds, and you're talking about seven draft picks, you know, to move up to number one, then yes, they would be willing to do that.
But that deal, if you're the Cardinals, is much more about the quantity of picks that you're getting and not necessarily the quality, because you are falling. If you've got a guy that you think is a top seven player in this draft, chances are good if you move down to 13, 15, he's not going to be there.
You're not going to get any of the top 10 guys you like. But you've now loaded up with all these extra picks, including the following year. You'll get a first and a second or a first
which,
and a third
which
the
I'd be a
year.
Fan of. I mean, I'm a fan either way of trading down and getting extra picks. I'm just saying if there's a shelf that you don't want to fall below, you might fall below it if you're going to go down that far to 15 or 13. It sounds like Troy Lovello is leaving the door open for somebody besides Ketel Marte to play center field. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. So perhaps there's a reason for very vague comments by Torey Lovello, not only during Newsmakers Week with Duggan Wolf, when the manager of the Diamondbacks was a guest, I believe, on Monday, and he was asked about Ketel Marte being the center fielder, and I'm not going to say he walked it back, but he certainly did not confirm it. He certainly did not say, yep, that's the plan, that's what we're doing, that's our vision going forward. He was asked about it again today as pitchers and catchers had their first workout. And once again, he kind of gave an answer really steeped in, well, we'll see.
I don't know that answer. We feel like that he's capable of going out there and taking on that challenge. I know that we would be asking a lot of him, but we've done a lot of work and we've done a lot of preparation as far as conversation and just making sure that he understands the reason for us considering this.
Sounds like a man to me interested in keeping his options open when it comes to.
Well, because
I think they are
looking to add a center fielder if they can, if it works out. And I'm going to continue to say this name. Adam Jones is very high on the radar. If he does not get a deal from another team, basically that's a multi-year deal. If nobody wants to give him a two-year deal, I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are very interested in offering him a one-year contract. Not a two-year contract, but a one-year contract. Had his lowest home run and RBI total since his first season. But he still, you know, hit 15 homers, still drove in 63 runs. He's still a decent center fielder, maybe not as good as he used to be. He did get moved,
from that
position. But he can play center field, and he's done it. He's been a great center fielder in the past. He's a good clubhouse guy. He would make a lot of sense on a one-year deal. Marte could stay at second. Wilmer Flores could be your utility guy. Now, Arizona is interested in signing him only to a one-year deal. They're not interested in a multi-year deal. They would give him a team option because that benefits them, but it doesn't benefit the players. So if there are no takers out there for Adam Jones on any multi-year deal, the Diamondbacks then come into play. And if they're coming into play, that could be the read. Now, nothing's imminent.
Sure.
But that could be the reason why you're not seeing a full committal to Ketel Marte to center field, because the feeling is that they might have a realistic shot to get Adam Jones.
It's interesting. We talked about this on Monday. You made the suggestion for the first time then about Adam Jones, and I got a couple messages, and I think you did too. And looking at the defensive metrics of Adam Jones, they weren't great. There was a reason he got moved to right field. Last year, the performance defensively might have slipped a little bit for him in center field, and the Orioles, I believe, had a younger prospect. They really wanted to look at center field, so they kind of moved Adam Jones over to the right. I'm going to say again today what I said on Monday the last time we talked about this. When you move Marte to center field, there's a domino effect that weakens your entire up-the-middle defense of your team, right, which is already in question. With Jeff Mathis gone in Texas, with Wilmer Flores perhaps as your projected second baseman, and Ketel Marte your center fielder. Now you're up the middle positions. Your catcher, your short, your second, your center field. Three of those four positions would be manned by either new players or players playing new positions that they've never played before. Is that really how you want to approach this season defensively if you're the Diamondbacks, when you've basically been built the last 2 years on your defense? If you sign a center fielder and you can leave Marte at second base, now at least you've got the stability of those two positions being the same every single night, rather than having three out of your four positions being manned by new guys or guys playing out of position.
I think it's a fair question to ask what type of center fielder are you getting. The guy was Cedric Mullins. That was the center fielder at Baltimore. They wanted to get younger. They wanted to get faster. Adam Jones had been the center fielder since he got there in 2008, but – you know, his defensive run saved, that number was way down. He didn't rank very high. So they wanted to go younger. They wanted to go faster. That's why they made the move. He was one of the great center fielders in the game, but he's been around for 13 years. I think he kind of expected at some point there was going to be a shift. But the Diamondbacks don't really have a true center fielder. Adam Jones can play center field for a year. I mean, he could play center for a year and would probably be much better than Ketel Marte, to be honest with you. He's not younger and he's not faster, but he knows the position well.
Right.
He knows the angles. He knows how to play. I mean, he just knows the position. You don't have to teach him.
You don't have to teach him. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You don't have to teach him how to play center field. He knows how to do it. Ketel Marte could probably pick it up. It's going to be a big learning curve for him. I think he's played, 11 in his entire professional career, including the minors. I think
right.
He's played like 11 games there. All right, so he can have all the athleticism in the world. Just something that bears watching. Here's something else that bears watching. Archie Bradley today, for the first workout for pitchers and catchers, was asked about his fingernail. That's what he said.
Boy, this nail is solid. Throwing some hammers this year.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have one of the best curveballs in the big leagues this year.
Again?
Yeah. It's nasty. It is. Nail's healthy, no crack, been able to throw it all off season. And, I mean, you can hear in the tone of my voice, I'm really excited to get out there and throw some good curveballs this year.
I don't mind it, man. You got to back it up, but I don't mind the bravado. I don't mind the – I mean, if you got it, talk it. I mean, I'm not a humble person. I mean, he doesn't need to be humble. I mean, Archie doesn't. You don't need to be humble, in my opinion. But you got to back it up. I mean, you do. You have to back it up. You can't go out there and say, I'm going to have one of the best curveballs in baseball. And then, we get 2 months into the season, and Archie Bradley's curveball is being hit at the 320 rate. And he's given up 4 homers and 17 RBIs. And, I mean, yeah, your secondary pitch better be good. I mean, he knows that.
Sure.
I mean, but he feels that a lot of it had to do with his fingernail, because his fingernail was the key to it. And it's been healthy all year. His fingernail's good. And
Did he tell us during FanFest that he had like 57 separate fake nails over the course of the season
right.
that was attached when he was a guest of ours? Lovello again today talked about Archie and said he clearly needs to learn more than one pitch.
I think he learned a lot through the course of last year that to get by on blood and guts and one pitch, it's okay. He can do it, but I know Archie has this burning desire to be great. And that motivates him every single day. And I think he's going to stay ahead of situations like this, like that from last year. He'll do that this year to be as great as he possibly can be.
Translation, get a second pitch. Throw. Well, he's got a second pitch. Throw your second pitch.
Do you mind at all the bravado? I've got the best. I'm going to have one of the best curveballs. I'm going to knock. I'm going to kill it.
No.
I don't mind it
no,
at all.
No, I don't mind.
Again, you just got to back it up.
I don't mind it a bit, but then I'm a talk show host, so I love it when guys say stuff like that, because it gives me something to talk about.
Yeah.
It gives me something to react to, and it gives me something, quite frankly, to kind of going into the season. Okay, Archie, you said you're going to have one of the best curveballs in baseball. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see you use it, and let's see you not be – wasn't that the pitch that he threw to Kemp? Was it both times?
I believe...
Or was it the first time? And then the second time he didn't throw it, and he threw the fastball.
I think it was once.
I think it was. I think he
two
threw
two games in a row. I'll never forget. I believe it was August 31st and September 1st. I don't know why I know that. I believe it was the last day in August and the first day in September.
You remember some strange.
I don't
things.
Have anything in front of me. You know, I'm not looking at anything. I have nothing in front of me. I think it was the last day in August, the first day in September.
I'm just looking to see what's on your computer screen. Oh, it's a picture of you and your beautiful wife. No, you're not. You're not looking at anything.
I have
baseball-wise.
Nothing. No, I think it was because I think it was the last day in August.
If
first day
I
in September,
remember
he got
right,
buried.
The first big hit he gave up to Kemp at the end of August was on a curveball.
And then
fastball. Kemp came up the next game, and Kemp's like, "Well, you ain't throwing that again. I know that. He ain't gonna throw me that curveball again because I hammered that thing to Santa Monica, for goodness sake. So I'm going to sit fastball in this one." Boom. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I have to go back and check my notes to be sure, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. So, no, I don't have a problem with Archie being like that. Archie's...
Talk the talk, walk the walk.
Walk it.
Yep. Talk all you want. I'm good with that. I like it.
Did you see his Nike earring? Did you see that circulating on Twitter?
No.
He has a Nike logo, Nike swoosh. So the swag is fully intact.
Yeah.
No, it's Archie just being Archie.
That is Archie being
yeah,
Archie.
Sports Illustrated just tweeted it.
I think we're too old school. I still believe your earrings are for girls, not boys.
Welcome to 2019, my friend.
Never had
actually
an earring.
Welcome to like 2002, but that's fine.
My son will not wear an earring.
I'll take old takes for 200, Alex.
My son's like, hey, can I get an earring? You know, when I'm dead, you can get an earring when I'm dead.
I'll pierce it for him. We'll take him to Claire's.
It's like doing some days. It's like doing a radio show with your grandfather. It really is. Some days, I swear to God, it's like doing a radio show with your grandfather. It really is.
Hey, my kid comes up. Can we go to the store? I want to get my ears pierced.
Hey, Dad, I want a tat. Sonny, you're not getting a tattoo. Not on my watch.
Oh, my daughter's
until
wanted tattoos.
Until Petula Clark gets a tattoo.
It's becoming clearer each day. He's going to be the best prospect in this year's NBA drafts. If they don't win the lottery, how do the Suns get him? Can they? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
There it is. My favorite Madonna song.
Yep.
Over the Borderline.
Let's get an update on our Twitter.
That was Twitter. In a movie. It was in a movie. Madonna did a movie, and this was the main song in the movie. I forgot what it was called.
It was in the one...
Susan?
Yes.
Suddenly
Forgetting
something,
Susan or something like that. Yes.
Oh, what was that movie called?
I'm going to look it up. I can't remember. I tried to block it out of my mind.
Desperately Seeking Susan?
That's it. Desperately Seeking Susan.
1985.
Yeah. That's right. So update our Twitter poll question of the day.
Good year for me.
It does actually have something to do with Madonna here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
I made the mistake earlier of saying that Material Girl was stuck in my head all day. We made the mistake as a show of singing Material Girl.
Living in a material world because I am a material girl.
And that was us earlier. So it prompted Sarah to come up with a poll question in addition to the one that we started the day with. What do you have for us today, sir?
All right. Well, quite simply, guys, what is your favorite Madonna song? 42% voted for Like a Virgin. 25% went for Material Girl. 17% said Other. We had a ton of nominees, including Like a Prayer from you, Bernsey.
Yes.
Let's see. Dress You Up. Lucky Star.
You May Be My Lucky Star.
Borderline. There was one vote for Borderline.
Into the Groove.
It was Gambo's burner account that voted for Borderline, I'm sure.
That's right.
It was Brian Colangelo or Gambo's burner account that voted for Borderline. One of the two.
And then 16% voted for Vogue.
All right, I'm putting Get in the Groove on my Spotify right now.
What's the second poll question today?
Oh, you mean the actual sports
talk question? Yes, the actual we're sports talk show hosts and not a couple of sissy boys talking about Madonna question.
Embrace your feminine side. Come on. All right. Well, if you could only keep one Suns wing, who would you pick? And this was a really tough one for a lot of people to answer. 44% voted for Mikal Bridges. Nope. I know you guys feel similarly. 30% voted for Kelly Oubre Jr., 19% for Josh Jackson, and T.J. Warren lost one percentage point. He is now only at 7%.
Wow.
Oh, a lot of love man, for T.J. I don't want T.J.
Not a lot. A lot of love for Mikal Bridges, and rightfully so. He's untouchable. I almost feel like the other ones, in the pursuit of getting veteran players, if that's the new plan, all three of those wings, as far as I'm concerned, are available.
Okay, you can. Sorry, I didn't mean it. I was just adding it to my Spotify.
You can turn it down.
You know, Jordan can play music over the radio if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's okay. Gambo's over there. He's not listening to a word I'm saying. Madonna songs to his Spotify.
I added one. Get into the groove. That was in a movie too.
Do you really think that a team that finishes with the number one pick in the draft could be swayed to trade? You suggested it earlier.
I did suggest it earlier because here's what I'm thinking. Suns get the number two pick.
Right.
Whoever gets one's taking Zion. He's a special, special player. If you get the number two pick, could you go to the team with the number one pick and say, listen, I'll give you the number two pick. I'll give you my first round pick next year. I'll give you any two players on my roster not named Booker and Ayton. Would you have a snowball's chance in hell? I'm giving you four players for one. I just want Zion.
My money's on the snowball.
Your money's on a snowball?
My money's on, as opposed to the Suns' ability to get that deal done, my money's on the snowball.
But the snowball doesn't have a chance
The snowball with, that's what I mean. The snowball would last longer there than the Suns' offer would to that team with the number one pick. There's just no way.
Josh Jackson, TJ Warren, the second overall pick, and next year's first round pick.
Nope.
I call. I offer it.
Oh, sure.
Hey, this is the Phoenix Suns. I know we have the number two pick. Would you move down one spot? Listen, just listen. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Hello?
Hello, you there?
Hello?
I think we got a bad connection. We're in a bad cell.
Then you send them an email. I was going to offer you any two players you want, not named Booker or Ayton. Any two. And my first round pick this year and next year. You move down one spot.
Yes.
You're the second best player in the draft.
Zion Williamson is... I think to me, and to me, the only scenario I could see Zion, a team finishing with number one pick in the draft lottery, moving that pick and not taking Zion Williamson, the only scenario I can see would be if the New York Knicks get it and use it to get Anthony Davis. That'd be it. And even then, I don't know if that would happen. They'd have to know for sure that Anthony Davis is going there, that Durant is going there, that they're forming their own little super team in New York, because that would make everybody in the league happy.
There's no way the Knicks don't take Zion. Every team would take him. They want to sell tickets, right? Cleveland wants to sell tickets.
But if you use that pick to get Anthony Davis, don't you think you could use that pick? I mean, that's the only way I see that pick getting moved. From anybody who gets it, any team that finishes at number one in the draft lottery, the only way I can see it getting moved is if it's dangled for Anthony Davis, and it's only if the Knicks get it. That's it. Jay Billis was on Golic Wingo this morning. He talked about Duke's freshman class, said it's the best I've ever seen.
If it hasn't been clear until now, it's clear now. This is a special group, this freshman class that Duke has. In the time I've been doing this job, it's the best I've ever seen, and they are they're different. It's a different group. It's not just their talent, it's their maturity and how they go about things. They're special.
They'll have three kids taken in the top five. Yes. Reddish, Barrett, and Williamson will all be taken in the top five. I believe all three will be taken in the top five.
It's amazing to me how Calipari started the one and done thing, and Krzyzewski just zoomed right by him on the freeway of life.
He was one of the last ones to do it.
Yep. And he just, is that what we're doing? Is that how we're playing this? Oh, okay, fine. And he just flew right by him. He's taken the one and done thing, and Calipari, nobody even talks about Calipari anymore with the one and done thing. It's all about Krzyzewski and the one and done thing he's doing at Duke. Nobody even really talks about Calipari in Kentucky anymore about that.
Who was the first Duke guy? Because they were the last ones to, go with it. I just wonder was it Maggette?
Who was the first Duke one and done guy?
The first Duke one and done guy.
It's a good question.
Was it Elton Brand? Was it Maggette?
Elton Brand was there for more than one year, wasn't he?
There might have been Maggette. It was somebody that was over the first. I remember there was, because it was popular. It was like, this is the first one and done guy at Duke, because they were like one of the last teams to accept it.
Yeah, while Jordan looks that up, Stan Van Gundy on Dan Le Batard on Monday. If you're number one, you've got no choice but to take Zion Williamson.
Your fans will mutiny if you have the number one pick and do not pick him. I mean, it doesn't matter what your analytics show or what your scouts think or anything else. If you take anyone other than Zion Williamson, you are going to get destroyed by your fan base.
It's true. Absolutely true.
Destroyed.
You will.
Right.
You will.
You've had a chance to take Zion Williamson, you trade him to the Suns? The Suns won 11 games. You want their players? Like, that's what you would get from their fan base. Like, what do you want the Suns players? They can't win. That's what you would get.
Congratulations. You're right. Corey Maggette.
Oh, my God. Was it really?
Yeah, he was. 1999, he was the first one-and-done player. CBS Sports ranked Duke's one-and-done players throughout the year. They call Marvin
Bagley. Was Maggette really the first?
Yeah, 1999.
That was a total guess.
Yeah, he was the, chronologically speaking, he was the first one-and-done guy.
And then Luol Deng in 2004, and then not until Kyrie Irving in 2011.
Yeah. So he did it once with Maggette, once with Deng, and then went 7 years without having one until Kyrie Irving. And then they started just flowing in. Then it was Austin Rivers, Jabari Parker, Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, Jason Tatum, Marvin Bagley,
Gary Trent Jr., Wendell Carter.
The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the first selection in the NFL draft. What does Steve Keim think about all the rumors
Harry
and
Giles,
speculation surrounding the pick?
Brandon Ingram.
You'll hear that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, I don't know what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do with the number one pick overall in the draft.
I hope trade it. I mean, I do hope they could trade it and get a bunch of picks, but that's maybe dependent on the Raiders wanting Bosa or a team wanting a quarterback at number one and thinking a quarterback is worthy of being the number one pick.
I hope they trade it, too. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know this. I know what's on Steve Keim's playlist at home.
First of all, the speculation is a lot of fun. I mean, the amount of talk, and I don't listen to a lot of radio or watch a lot of TV, but just a little bit I have. I mean, it's like this is the constant message that I've seen. But again, it's great for all of us. It's good for the game. It just goes to show you the level of excitement there is for the National Football League, and in particular in this situation, the number one pick. I mean, it's sort of like you know, the Bachelor or the Housewives of Orange County. I mean, this is real life stuff, and it's exciting.
The Bachelor.
I didn't know he watched those type of shows,
now we know what's on his playlist at home. Apparently,
you're done watching game film. You put on the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
He's got the season pass.
He's got it all.
Record one episode or record all? Oh, record all on those bad boys.
You know when he's on a long plane trip and he's going with the team, leaving on a Friday, going out to wherever.
Hey, Steve, it's your playlist, man. You watch
it on the iPad. Look, what are you watching? Steve, Beverly Hills Housewives.
We're singing Madonna songs here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Mm. We're not one to talk, right, Sarah?
Right, and also like Chelsea doesn't make you watch Real Housewives with her.
Oh hell no.
No.
No, she
watches, that's where you draw the line?
She watches Vikings with me.
Oh, okay.
Blood, guts, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. Look, there's no way for the... There's
we
no
know
way.
Who wears the TV pants in that household.
It's me. It's totally me.
My remote. It's mine.
I think we all would like to see them trade the first pick and gather more picks because of the need. They need a left guard. They need a right tackle. They need a wide receiver. There's a lot of needs for this team. And when you look at the haul, what the Eagles gave up to move up six spots, what the Rams gave up to move up 15 spots. The inventory is so high. So if somebody is worthy of the number one pick and a team wants to move up, and there are maybe the Raiders could move up, maybe Washington move up, maybe Miami, maybe Jacksonville. I don't know that Denver getting Flacco automatically takes them out of wanting a quarterback. It probably does.
It probably takes them out of moving up.
It probably means they're not going to move up because they've already just given up a fourth-round pick to get Flacco. So it probably means they don't move up. But there are surely other teams that might be interested in moving up if a quarterback is worthy of that number one pick.
All right, let me ask you this. And by the way, that Steve Keim cut was from Newsmakers Week. Steve Keim, the GM, and we're just kind of nudging him, teasing him a little bit, was a guest of Doug and Wolf this morning as part of their great Newsmakers Week all week. Let me ask you this question, because I agree, and we've talked about this forever now. Trading down is what I want. It's what you want. I don't know if it's what a majority of the fans want, but I think it's what a lot of fans want because they do have so many needs to fill. Which trade down scenario is more appealing to you? Going down to four, where the Raiders are, or going all the way down to 15, where, say, Washington is, knowing you're going to get more picks if you do that? Which of the two, which appeals more to you, Gambo?
Moving to four? Yeah, because I could still get a Quinnen Williams. I could still get a really great player. Because at four, you could get the best player at his position at number four. If you move down to 15, you're very likely not getting the best player at his position. You're getting the second or third best player at his position. Now, just to give you an idea, when the Rams moved up 15 spots, they gave up number 15, they gave up number 43, number 45, a third rounder, and then in the next year, 2017, they gave up a first and third rounder. So they gave up the 15th pick, a second rounder, a third rounder, and then the following year, a first rounder and a third rounder. That's a lot of inventory.
So now, firsts, two seconds, and two thirds.
Now, they did throw in a fourth and a sixth in the deal for Goff, to get Goff. It's a lot of inventory, but I still think you'll get good inventory moving down to four and be able to get a dominant player that is very likely going to be the best player at his position.
Yeah, I think I'd probably prefer to move down not that far as well. I think I would agree. I don't want to go down. But if that's what it looks like, then go there. I mean, I
would you be okay staying at one? Because you know, my feeling on one has always been this. Chandler Jones probably has a couple good years left of being a premier pass rusher. And then he's gonna slide. He's gonna fall. It's inevitable. I love teams that think 2 years ahead. The best teams, the Steelers always did it. If you get Nick Bosa now and you pair him with Chandler Jones, in 2 years when Chandler Jones is no longer capable of going to being a double-digit sack guy and he slows down,
yeah.
Now I've got Nick Bosa in his prime for the next 5 years to be that elite pass rusher. I like thinking ahead like that.
I'm okay with staying there. It is my strong, strong preference to trade out of number one. Strong preference. That is what they need to do. Too many holes to fill. Too many questions to answer. Too much depth you need to build up. Trade out of the spot if the opportunity presents itself. Steve Keim, this morning with Doug and Wolf, was very masterful in kind of choosing his words and making sure that he didn't paint himself into any corners. He didn't close any doors. He didn't, you know, say, nope, well, we are absolutely under no circumstances. We're not doing that. He never said anything like that. When asked what they were going to do at number one, all the Kyler Murray speculation. Because, frankly, I don't know.
I mean, I can say this truthfully. I truly don't know who we're going to take.
And I think that's an honest answer. I don't think they know who they're going to take
yet,
right
it's
now.
It's way too early. Haven't had the combine. Haven't done the interview process. And they're in the early stages of evaluating players. Way too early to say.
And that's part of what he said later.
We have not been through the process, which is, again, to meet with our scouts and our coaches. I haven't met one college football player yet. Personally. So that is a huge part of this process. Again, as I said earlier, to get to know the person, to understand what makes them tick, to understand how passionate they are about the game, mm-hmm. to see how they'll fit, again, in our culture. And so it's way too early to even consider who is going to be the number one pick.
It's way too early to even talk about wanting to trade the number one pick. Do you want to trade it?
Either that or stay put.
A great answer. I mean, either we'll keep the pick or we'll trade it. It's one or the other. Yeah, great. Doesn't know.
Do you want chicken or beef for dinner? Chicken or maybe
or beef.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Right?
Well, yeah, you just. I mean,
but that's what he's had. That's what he has to do.
It's February 13th.
Sure.
I mean, it's not even Valentine's Day yet. We're a long way away from them being able to determine what they want to do with that pick. And even when they determine what player they like, there may be options that present themselves to make a trade.
So even though we didn't get any hardcore answers, that's cool. I wasn't expecting it. What I did like and what I did appreciate the most out of the Newsmakers Week interview with Steve today was how he was not put off at all by the rumors or the speculation, right? Because, like, some people get annoyed by that. Some people are like, man, why are we talking about this? The draft is still 2 months away. I think it's fun to speculate on stuff like this. And I'm glad Steve sees the fun in speculating on stuff like that, comparing it to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or The Bachelor. I mean, for sports fans, for guys like us, this is our Bachelor. He's right. This is our gossipy kind of, this is what we do when we go out with our buddies to sports bars or when we're hanging out at a party on a Saturday.
Yeah. With the number one pick.
This is the kind of rumor mongering and speculation that guys love. We love this. And I'm glad rather than acting like we shouldn't love it, acting like we should be all above loving it, Steve acknowledges this is the kind of stuff we should love. This is fun. This is what makes being a guy. You know, our wives can talk about what happened on The Bachelor or what Chip and Joanna did to the latest house on Fixer Upper. This is what we've got. We've got speculating on whether the Cardinals should stay put. Should they trade down to 4? Should they trade down to 15? Kyler Murray, would you take him? Should they take him?
Man,
this is what?
My wife's at the flag football field with our sons talking to the other moms about what the Cardinals should do with the number one pick. Chelsea's like, what do you think they should do? Should they trade
well, there
him
you
or
go.
Should they keep the pick?
She's an honorary member of the guys club.
My wife's
absolutely.
Sitting there like, they need to get a wide receiver. Larry's way too old. That's what my wife, she's sitting there with the other moms like, they need another wide receiver.
And the other moms are like, can we talk about The Bachelor?
And my wife's like, N'Keal Harry, if he's there in the second round, they've got to take him. Did you watch him at ASU? That guy, he was amazing.
That's great. But last night on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, this happened.
Yeah.
She's probably not taking, if I don't want to take
her. Yeah, but can that guy run a 4.440? Because if N'Keal Harry runs a 4.45 40, he's going early.
I'm sure every single statement she's making about the Cardinals is followed with a statement that begins with the two words, like, yeah, but do you think...
My wife's at the Flag Football Field talking about the Cardinals in the draft.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Like, what do you guys know about Brooks Reed? Do you, any of your moms remember him from U of A?
Like, is he the Bachelor this year?
Did he cut his hair? That man with long hair.
Like, was he the one in the blue tie or was he the one in the red tie?
Can you believe they only paid him like $1 million to come here and play?
The Arizona Cardinals did it last season with Josh Rosen. So considering all the Kyler Murray noise, would they really want to break in another rookie quarterback this year? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.